with us tonight, and enjoyed that yesterday, and look forward to the preaching tonight. And that's my introduction.
Amen. Thank you, Preacher Man. All right. Well, it's a blessing. Amen. And appreciate our missionaries being here, and thank the Lord for missionaries and missions, and amen. And all the missionary families, would y'all stand there? Yeah, y'all stand up. And yeah, we got the Hamiltons and got the Hutchins here tonight. And is it how we say it, Brother Corbello? Is that right? Corbello, Brother Corbello, and then the Prideys. And who are we back here? Hamiltons, yeah, Josh Hamilton. Yeah, Brother Hamilton, yeah. Amen, that's a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God for the missionaries. Yeah, let's give them a hand. Amen, that's a blessing. All right, thank y'all. You can be seated. And what a blessing. Thank the Lord for missions and missionaries. And, you know, I thank the Lord for Faith Promise and the opportunity to give and have a part. And I thank God for the offering envelopes. And we had a family visiting our church recently, and I visited with her in their home last Thursday. And they were asking, you know, well, how do you give a missions offering? Anyway, I just told them, I said, you know, you can write one check and just divide it up on your offering envelope. Amen. And that's a blessing, isn't it, to be able to do that, to bring your tithe to the Lord, and then to give a voluntary offering above your tithe, a faith promise offering. And we thank the Lord for the opportunities that God gives us to help reach Panama and other parts of the world. I have Miss Debbie DeRay's shoes here. Anyway, what a blessing Miss Debbie was last night. I know many of you got to meet her and reaching the deaf. In fact, some of the people here in the church wanted to help Miss Debbie maybe on Thursday nights to help reach some of the deaf refugees in Fort Worth. And I thought, wow, that's a blessing. And that would have never happened if we didn't meet her. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. And Pastor opened the box for us last night of Missionary John Casillas. And John and Juana Casillas, last time I saw them was here at this church. And they're in heaven now. And I hadn't opened the box, so there was a letter that went with the shoes. So I'm going to read you this little letter. I can still see Brother John laughing and carrying on, you know, and just being Brother John. Amen. He's a lot of fun to be around. Very jovial. He sent these shoes, his son Johnny Casillas sent these shoes to Brother Mark Haynes and in Ganado, Arizona, missionary to the Navajos. So you all know Brother Haynes and support him. It says, it was a true pleasure speaking with you last month, and I sincerely apologize for not getting these to you sooner, as they are the very last pair of my dad's shoes that I have. I have tried to get back another pair from one of my siblings, but that never happened, so I'm giving you the best of the rest. I remember having a pair that had holes in the bottom of them that he continued to wear. I don't know why, but he did. Unbeknownst to me, then how valuable they would now be, I'm happy and honored to share these shoes with you and Pastor Guido in honoring and furthering the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And at a minimum, if they only touch the heart of one person, one soul is worth it all. In closing, I would ask for continued prayer for the Casillas ministry, our youngest brother Sean and myself, as we continue the work that God started through our parents in 1983. It has been challenging, to say the least, however thousands of Mexican people have come to accept the free gift of salvation since the graduation of our parents. If it were only one soul, it was worth it all. In Christ Jesus, Johnny Casillas. And you know, I thank God for every soul that was saved through John and Juana Casillas, and then through the ministry that they continues to live on through their family and so forth. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. That is a blessing. I have another pair of shoes tonight. And I've misplaced the letter that goes with these shoes, so I'll just tell you the story. And I've read the letter several times, so I kind of know the gist of the story. But for over 20 years, we've supported Josh and Joy Wesson, who are missionaries to the Dominican Republic. And Josh Wesson, as a young man, he traveled with a group from Oklahoma Baptist College and sang in one of their men's quartet. He could play the piano and sing, and it was a great blessing. And we loved Josh and Joy, and we were able to pick them up as our missionaries early on. And when they first went to the Dominican Republic, and they served the Lord in the Dominican for 20 years. And this, not this June, but the June before, Brother Josh was, they'd finished up a vacation Bible school, and he was rewarding some young people and allowing them to go on a swimming trip in the Caribbean or Caribbean Sea there. Anyway, they were having a good time, and all of a sudden a riptide came and began to suck young people under, and Josh was able to save three teenagers, and he went back in for the fourth one, and Josh lost his life, and so did the Dominican boy that he jumped in to save. And I went to his funeral down in South Louisiana, and saw Miss Joy and the children there. And this past January, I was in a missions conference in South Louisiana, and they honored Miss Joy, and they did not know Miss Joy, and so they asked me. I was preaching the missions conference, so they asked if I would help honor her. And of course, they presented her with a dozen red roses and all of that, and all of her family was there to help honor her. And rightfully so. She's over the deaf ministry there in the Dominican Republic and involved in the music and all. She plays the piano and sings too. And I remember in January this past year, their son sang that song, "I Want to Be That Man," and just wanted to be like his dad. Amen. And his dad was a good man, and these were his favorite pair of shoes that he liked preaching, and he was preaching shoes, and he preached Christ. That was the central theme of his message, was he preached Jesus Christ. And many Dominicans came to Christ because of Josh and Joy Wesson. And no one would have faulted Miss Joy for coming off the field, but she took some time off, maybe a year. And then back, I think May or June of this year, they went back over to the Dominican Republic, her and her children. And they're back over there serving the Lord. There's another missionary there that was working with them, and now they're working with that missionary. And so Dominicans are still being reached. Isn't that a blessing? And I thank God for faithful missionaries. And I believe in giving honor to whom honor is due. Amen. I love our country. And when a soldier dies and gives his life and pays the ultimate price, we give honor, don't we? And rightfully so. And I think when missionaries, these are frontline soldiers that give their life for the gospel and give their life to Jesus Christ. And they have families and they've touched a lot of people's lives. And, I just say, young people, hey, you need to think about that, because we need another generation of young people that would give their lives and help fill the shoes of these great men of God and be a blessing and be used of God to help reach the world that Jesus Christ died for. I love missions. I love missionaries. And it's an honor and a privilege to have a part in serving the Lord and giving so that others can go. And I want to give you this little statement, and I want you to say it with me. Every creature needs a preacher. Say that with me. Every creature needs a preacher. Say it again. Every creature needs a preacher. Amen? And we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, okay? So every creature needs a preacher, and it's not just around the world. He's exactly right. We need it here in America too, okay? And we need to be about our Father's business, okay? And we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to preach to you very quickly. I've got two messages that I want to bring tonight. And one's going to be my introduction. And then we'll get to the main event. In Genesis chapter number 1, I'm not going to take the time to read Genesis 1 verses 1 through 27. And if I was preaching this message by itself, I would take the time to read the passage here. But we're all pretty familiar with Genesis chapter 1 and God creating everything. And everything that God created was good. Amen. And everything, you read it, he'd create something and he'd say, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and God is good, he is good, and we thank the Lord for that. But, I want to just kind of get right to this message tonight, and again, picture a perfect world without any of the effects of sin. No disease, no heartache, no death. No thorns to mar the beauty of the rose. The temperature's perfect. It's never too hot, never too cold. Wow, that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? All of nature's in perfect harmony. The lion and the lamb, they play together in the fields, and not even a pesky mosquito to mar the tranquility of life. Wow, what an awesome thing it would have been to be living back during that time. And this is the world that God formed, a world of perfect beauty and perfect harmony. And God placed His creation in this perfect world, and it began he began with plant life and ended with the crown jewel, and that's man. We're made in His image and His likeness, and Adam and Eve lived in a perfect harmony with nature and with each other and with their Creator. Wow, what a blessing that was. They walked with God in beautiful fellowship, and they had an important work to do as God's crowning act of creation. And they were there to care for the Garden of Eden and to walk in fellowship with God and to walk in fellowship with each other. Now, look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. Genesis 2:15 And the Bible says, Genesis 2:15. Let me find it here. There it is. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And there was only one restriction placed upon man, and they had permission to eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it talks about that in verse 16. And Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. God wanted His people to only know good and not evil. And by the way, it's still that way today. Amen. God wants us to know good and not evil. And God's plan for His creation has always been good. And God knew that evil would ruin the glory and the peace of the Garden of Eden there. And God did not want Adam and Eve to eat of that one particular tree that would hurt them. And time went by, and we all know the story, and I'm just giving you this kind of daring to repeat the obvious, but time went by, and Adam and Eve enjoyed a wonderful life just as God had intended, and the days were filled with taking care of the garden and playing with the animals, and Adam named all the animals, and each afternoon there was a special treat as God came to talk with them, and we don't know exactly how much time went by. It doesn't really matter. The evenings were mild and joyful, and Adam and Eve enjoyed the beautiful sunsets, and the day that paradise ended started off like any other day, and the birds were singing, and Adam and Eve woke up to another perfect day, but before the sun set that evening, everything had changed, and the day that paradise was lost, we refer to it as the fall of man. It's described in detail in Genesis chapter number 3. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1 there. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The devil then appealed to Eve's pride in convincing her that God was withholding something that was good for her, from her. And by the time it was over, Eve disobeyed God, and Adam had done the same thing. And with this act of disobedience, listen to me, the entire world was plunged into sin, and paradise was lost. And from man's perspective, Adam and Eve, you know, their sin might not seem like it was that big of a deal, but all they did was take a bite of some fruit. But what made it so serious was the fact that God had clearly commanded them not to taste of this particular fruit. And this was the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And up to that point, man was morally innocent. But when Adam disobeyed God, and then they became sinners by nature, and that moment they died spiritually, and the physical process of dying began. And look in Genesis 3:17. The Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Wow. Adam and Eve became sinners before they conceived a child. And since we reproduce after our own kind, every human being that's been born since Adam and Eve has been born a sinner. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so for that all have sinned. So as a result of sin, all men are lost, and all men need a Savior. Amen? We're familiar with Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen to this now. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the Great Commission was given to the New Testament Baptist Church, and it's our privilege and our responsibility to fulfill it. And it ought to grip our hearts that men and women in Panama and other parts of the world who die without Jesus Christ spend eternity in hell without God and without hope. And remember, this spiritual battle has been going on between God and the devil, between good and evil. And why did the serpent come to Eve with his lies? We know the serpent was actually Satan, the devil, and we know the real reason he tempted Eve was his hatred for God. And Satan was once an archangel who held very high position in heaven and among the angels. And Satan was not content to serve in his exalted position for which he had been created. He was not content to love and worship God and serve the Creator. He desired worship of himself. He wanted his throne to be exalted above the throne of God. And he led a rebellion of the angelic creation against God. And as a result of this rebellion, Satan and one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven. And the once beautiful angel named Lucifer became the evil one known as the devil. That's found in Isaiah 14. When the devil showed up in the garden that day, it was not really about Adam and Eve. That wasn't really what he wanted to destroy. He wounded Adam and Eve in an attempt to hurt God. And Satan knows that by attacking God's most prized possession, God's most prized act in creation, he could hurt the very heart of God. And as long as the devil has been the devil, he's been trying to hurt God by hurting those that God loves. He also likes to accuse those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Revelation 12:10 says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." What does all this have to do with missions, Pastor Wido? It has everything to do with missions, because the battle that's been going on, it began thousands of years ago in the Garden of Eden. It's a battle for the souls of men and women who were created to glorify God. So let me ask you this tonight. Who are you submitting to? Will we lovingly submit to God, or will we follow the devil? The Lord Jesus Christ taught that we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the context of that statement was serving God or serving money, but the principle applies to serving Jesus or serving the devil. The natural man is born in this world blinded by Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, but there's only one power that can set the captive free and bring him back to God. To the God that loves him. And that's the power in the gospel message. And I'm glad tonight that, hey, we have the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. What a blessing. So the work of worldwide missions is all about getting that message to those who need to hear it. When Satan delivered his mortal blow to Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, he wounded all the nations. He wounded all the nations of the world that would one day descend from them. So that created the need for all nations to hear of the gospel. And yes, in Honduras, and yes, in New Zealand, and yes, in Panama, and yes, in Scotland, and yes, all around the world, people need the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In the Philippines, they all need the gospel. Amen. The life-giving antidote of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, the good news. Missions is God's method of the local church taking that antidote to the world. We've been commanded to do so. We must not fail. It is in this vital task. Souls hang in the balance. What could be more important than taking the only message that can save a soul from hell to a lost and dying world? There ain't nothing, that ain't good English, but there ain't nothing more important than taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's sermon number one. That's my introduction. Everybody okay? Say, wow, if you preach the second sermon as fast as you did the first one, we'll be out of here in a minute. Yeah, amen. We will be. Turn your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 22. That was a good introduction, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It's good stuff. It was better than a dip of snuff. Somebody say amen right there. I ain't putting nothing in my mouth that a fly wouldn't land on. I've been around some barnyards and I've seen what they will land on. Amen. What got quiet there? I thought I'd just preach on that tonight. Genesis chapter 22. Say, man, you done quit preaching and gone to meddling now. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 22. And wow, this is the story of the offering of Isaac. And we're very familiar with this story. It's a great story. It's probably not a more heart-touching story in the book of Genesis than the story of Abraham offering Isaac as a burnt offering, and what a blessing. And we're going to look at this, and I'm going to give you five things tonight very quickly. Five things out of this passage. We're going to give you the place, the participants, the provision, the picture, and the promise. It's going to be good. Are y'all ready? Don't you love the Word of God? Man, I love it. First of all, notice the place. Look in Genesis chapter 22. Just keep your Bible open here if you would. Verse number 1, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. We're talking about the place now. Number one, the place. The land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, I want you to notice there, it talks about the land of Moriah and one of the mountains, okay? We're talking about the place and one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. Now, look at verse number 3. And Abraham rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto, notice the words there, the place. The place which God had told him. Look at verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Notice the words, the place. The place afar off. Look down at verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Wow, isn't that a blessing? The place. We're talking about the place where the sacrifice of, was going to take place and the sacrifice of the son. Look down in verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place. Notice it's that place, Jehovah Jireh. And so it's mentioned like five times right here, talking about Mount Moriah and the place, the place, the place, that place. And God made mention of it. Wow, in this short passage here, five times. Number two, secondly, we want to notice the participants. There are two main characters in the story, and we know that. And they're Abraham the father and Isaac the son. And this story is simply this. God spoke to Abraham, and God told Abraham, Abraham, take thou thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering. Now, I want you to notice very carefully that Abraham immediately obeyed the instructions of God. Man, don't you want to be a doer of the word? I do. I mean, I want to be an obedient child of God. And Abraham immediately obeyed the instructions of God. He got up early in the morning and began the journey, taking with him his son Isaac and a couple of the young men. And they eventually leave the young men at the bottom of the mountain. And the father and the son make the last part of the trip by themselves. And even though there were two young men and the donkey in this story, our focus is on Abraham the father and on Isaac the son. And remember, the son, Abraham obeyed, the father obeyed immediately, and then Isaac the son was totally yielded to his father's will. He was totally yielded. Are you totally yielded to your father's will? Man, I want to be yielded to God's will. So we have number one, the place. Number two, we have the participants. Thirdly, we're moving right along, aren't we? Everybody good? Nod your head right there. We're doing good. Thirdly, we have the provision. Now look in verse number 11, the provision. And we're daring to repeat the obvious tonight. The provision. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. As we read these verses, we want to shout for joy. And again, as we see the mercy of God and what God intervening. And it's a blessing when God intervenes, amen. It really is. And just as Abraham was about to lay the knife to Isaac's body, God interrupted him with a call out of heaven. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw that ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And really, that's an amazing thing, because if the ram had been caught by probably any other part of his body, it would have been blemished, and it wouldn't have been fit. It would have been unfit for a burnt offering. But God had just hung up there by his horns and didn't blemish the body. And so the innocent ram dies in Isaac's place, and Isaac goes free. So we have the place, Mount Moriah, one of the mountains there, the participants, Abraham the father and Isaac the son. We have the provision, God providing himself a ram caught in a thicket. The fourth thing we see is the picture. Boy, this is good. Are y'all ready? Amen. It's getting gooder and tweeter and tweeter. The fourth thing we see is the picture. Every student of the Bible is aware of the typology that's found here in this chapter. And it's very clear that Abraham is a picture of God the Father with a job to do. And it's also very clear that Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world to do the will of His Father. And now here's where we get kind of interesting, okay? The donkey is a picture of a sinner. The donkey in the story is a picture of the sinner. The donkey. That's me. That's you. Wow, came to church on Monday night of missions conference for the preacher man to call me a donkey. There's other words for donkeys, but we'll not use those tonight. The donkey is a picture of a sinner, and the wood he carries is a picture of the old man and his sin. Wow. The wood is taken off the donkey at the bottom of the hill, and it's placed on the sun. Wow. The sun carries the wood to the top of the hill where it is used to build the altar. It's good, isn't it? Abraham places the ram on the altar, and the wood is burned to ashes. The donkey, now free of his load, can kick his heels up all the way back to the Father's house. It's good, isn't it? Thank God, it's a wonderful type there. The last thing I want to give you tonight, the fifth thing, is the promise. Look in Genesis 22:14. Everybody okay? The Bible says in Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That is, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Wow. Here we have the promise by God that one day, listen to this now, one day just as Jehovah in His prevision, now listen to this, it's very good, in His prevision, did God know and God put that ram in the thicket and God put the whole thing together, didn't He? So God in His prevision, He had the wood, the donkey, I mean God had the whole thing already orchestrated in His prevision. He saw and knew because of His omniscience. He knew how it was all going to shake out beforehand, right, in His prevision. So God had prevision, but He also had provision. Amen. That's a blessing. That's a real big blessing. He saw in His prevision the need for a substitute for Isaac before the need arose, and in His provision, He placed a ram in the thicket. And God would look ahead and see the need of a lost world and would offer His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice to provide salvation for the whole world. Wow. When the ram is found in the thicket, the son is allowed to go free. And this is the picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since God told Abraham 3 days and before that to offer his son as a sacrifice, in the eyes of Abraham, Isaac was dead 3 days and 3 nights, just as Christ would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And in the fulfillment of this type, God did put His Son to death at Calvary. But before He did, He took the sins of every sinner. Listen to me now. He took the sins of every sinner and placed them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ then died for the sins of the whole world. And 3 days and 3 nights later, He arose. We serve a risen Savior. I love this. Listen to this. Once the wood is burned, it would be impossible to convert the ashes back into wood and place it on the donkey's back again. Likewise, once our sins are forgiven, it's impossible for the devil or anyone else to get them out of the blood of Jesus Christ and put them back into our account again. Amen. Therefore, like the donkey, we can shout and kick up our heels on our way to our Father's house. Amen. Wow. Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh, which means Jehovah will see to it. It means God is a God of prevision and a God of provision. God knows what we need. He sees our needs before they arise, and He has the provision waiting for us when we need them. Huh, that's good, isn't it? So God closes this passage with the promise. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He closes this passage with the promise that what is given here is just a glimpse of what God would one day do through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm going to get Brother Wiggins to come and help me. He's taking notes right now. writing these outline down. Amen. Brother Wiggins, if you don't mind just getting down here on all fours. Where's Brody at? Come here, Brody. My main man, Brody. Come over this way a little bit, brother. Now, we're going to let Brother Wiggins come over this way. Brody, we're going to let Brother Wiggins be our donkey. Could you hee-haw for us? Could you do that again? Okay, good. All right, that's awesome. Miss Donnie, do you want to video this? Yes. Okay. All right, we want to get him hee-hawing for Miss Donnie. Amen. I heard she's into videoing, so we'll let her video this. She's laughing. All right, Brody, go ahead and get on top of him. Yeah, you're doing good, Brody. Amen. All right, Brother Wiggins had a load of sin. How much you weigh, Brody? 130 pounds of sin. Amen. Boy is well fed. That's what I'm talking about. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine, Brother Will? Hang on now. Can you imagine Brother Wiggins toting that load of sin around? And then can you imagine? Can you imagine that load of wood being taken off of? Could you hee haw for us one more time?
Hee-haw.
Wow, that sounded like a girl, didn't it? That's where he had the load on there. He was kind of a little bit deeper, and now he's got that load on there, so he's kind of changing voices here. All right, Brody, you can get off. Wow. Does it feel better, brother? Yeah, amen. Thank you, Brody. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Yeah, no, I'm not done with you. Go ahead and get back down. Now, amen. Brother Josh Hamilton, would you come and help me? Wow. We're changing illustrations now. Amen. Let's back up a little bit, Brother Wiggins. Let's get over here. I don't know where to get where we can see you. Come over here. Yeah, amen. All right, Brother Hamilton, if you don't mind getting down on all fours beside him. Amen. I need to borrow a belt. Can I borrow your belt? You got a belt? As Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, now everybody listen to me, it's a blessing when we get that load of sin lifted off of our backs and that wood and all of that. And my grandpa grew up and my dad grew up around Buckholz, Texas. And Buckholz is in central Texas, not too far from Temple. You go through Waco and Temple. And then Cameron was the county seat. Some of y'all know where that's at down there. You go through Rogers and go through Buckholz going to Cameron. And so my parents were sharecroppers, and they farmed, you know, and the farmer, they didn't own the property. They just worked the farm for a percentage, and so they didn't have a lot. But they plowed with mules. They plowed with mules. My grandpa plowed with mules, and so they had the mules named. And so we're going to let these two guys be our mules tonight. And it's a blessing to get that load of wood lifted off of you. But you know, we have a responsibility now that we have had that load of sin lifted off of us. And you know what? We're to yoke up with Jesus Christ. We're to get in the harness with Him. And His yoke is easy. Are y'all listening to me? And His burden is light. Amen. And you know what would happen to my dad's mules, and what would happen to my grandpa's mules, rather, is one mule would they be pulling together. And then one mule would kind of lag back a little bit. It's called floating in the harness. Floating in the harness. So the one mule was pulling both mules' weight. And that ain't right. So my grandpa would take the leather lines. And my grandpa would pop the one mule in the rump, and he would surge forward. Whoa. He would surge forward where he was a little bit more. He was actually pulling the whole load by himself. Okay, and then they would come back to even again. They'd even back up, and they were pulling together. Now, here's the bottom line. Since that load of sin's been lifted off of me, and I'm not toting that load of sin anymore, I've yoked up with Jesus, amen. And I want to be pulling when Jesus comes back, amen. I want to be serving Him. I don't want to be floating in the harness, amen, and somebody else pulling my load when Jesus comes back. Are y'all with me? And so a missions conference is kind of time we kind of give you the boot, amen. Give you a little pop in the rump to get you going again, amen. And I'm just telling you, man, what a blessing. I love serving Jesus. It's not something I have to do. And I'm kind of like, you know, getting that load of wood lifted off me at the bottom of the hill. Man, I want to kick my heels up all the way back to the Father's house. Okay, guys, y'all can go ahead and kick your heels up back to the Father's house. Amen. Y'all are dismissed. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Brother Wiggins. All right. Wow. How many of you glad you got your load of sin lifted? Man, I'll tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard, and man, the Lord's yoke is easy and His burden is light. Man, I love serving the Lord. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd live them all for my Lord. He's been so good to me, it's the least I could afford. He's made the good times out of the bad. He's been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Yeah, He's provided for everything. So what does all this have to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And when we realize how good God's been to us, and God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm so glad tonight I'm not going to hell no more.
Amen.
Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm yours. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God had one son, and He made that son a missionary.
Amen.
And every creature needs a preacher. Amen. And you and I can have a part. When we fill out our offering envelope and give to Faith Promise Missions, we're having a part in reaching the world that Jesus Christ died for. I'm in on it, y'all. I'm in on it. I'm in on it. And I can look at some of y'all and just tell you, you need the boot. You need to pop in the rump to kind of get you surged a little bit. That's what we're here for. We're not here to beat you over the head of the Bible. We're here to encourage you. But you know, sometimes we need that. We need that little nudge, don't we?
Yeah.
Him. Ooh, yeah, okay, I'm going. Yes, sir, Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you for listening. It's good stuff. That's the fastest two sermons I've ever preached in all my born days. It's good stuff, though, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many of you say, Pastor Weedo, man, I'm telling you, I've been kind of floating in the harness. I haven't been pulling much. I haven't been. I'm ashamed, man. God's taken that load of sin off me, and Jesus has saved my soul, and I love Him, and I'm going to heaven, but I'll tell you, I haven't been doing too much for the Lord. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. And I know we got the Monday night crowd, and I'm very thankful. I know this is the core of the church. But how many say, Pastor Reed, did you pray for me? I know I can do a little more. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up there, Christians, all over? What about teenagers? God bless you. Slip your hand up. Hey, we can pass out tracts. We can witness to our friends. God bless you. There's hands all over. Hands all over. We're praying for you, man. We love you. Just want to encourage you this week. And that's what a missions conference is all about, to challenge us and encourage us afresh and anew about a world, about Panamanians and Hondurans and Filipinos and all these others that are on their way to hell. And we can have a part in reaching them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Many of you raised your hand. Would you come tonight to the old-fashioned altar? Let the piano play softly. And Brother Wiggins, you can sing, whatever. Just come on right now. Amen. Hey, we all ought to be kicking our heels up and thanking God that, amen, He took my sins away. God bless you.